Hey guys, welcome to Sweet Kicks with Bricks. I'm your host, Barry Ricks, and today's Kickstarter highlight is New Bedford. And today we have the genius behind the game, Chris himself. Dice Hate Me is what he's known throughout the interweb. How's it going, Chris?
It's going well, thanks.
Oh, good. Thanks for joining me today.
I appreciate that, too. And I would definitely not say that I'm the genius behind the game, but I'm the genius who recognized the genius behind the game. So
there you go. So you're the genius bringing it to the public. How about that?
Right. That I'll take that. Sure.
Okay. Sounds good. So New Bedford, tell us a little bit about what this game is about.
Well, New Bedford is set in the 1850s, and it is in New Bedford, Massachusetts, and it's one of the whaling. It was at the time, or would soon become, in the 1850s, the whaling capital of the world. It was basically the age of sail. Whaling was really a way of life back then, and most of the world, including the United States, especially the United States, depended on whale oil really to keep. Not only things lit, because that was our main source of, like, lamp oil, things like that, but also it started to progress into how machinery was produced and how the Industrial Revolution would kick off before petroleum oil was started to be used. So, okay. Yeah, it's so New Bedford itself is set in that historical time period. And what it represents is basically a snapshot of that town and also the economy and the ecology of that system. So players basically take turns each round placing workers into the town itself, and the town will continue to grow as the game progresses. So the game is not only about the whaling industry, but also about the town New Bedford and how it's grown and progressed to become one of the most richest towns in the world at that time. And so people place into the town, they gather resources, they build buildings and expand the town. But one of the other mechanics we have, of course, is the whaling mechanic. And some players will choose to go out into the sea and try to draw whales from this little bag that we have. And then the whales are placed on the ships. And if they return, they have to pay the lay, in other words, the processing fees for those whales when they reach shore. And at the end of the game, whoever's able to best manage their resources, their economy, the whaling industry, and themselves, really, becomes winner of the game.
Sounds good to me. So what were maybe some of the inspirations that brought about the creation of this game? Obviously, you know, the town itself and kind of like the history behind it, which is really fascinating. I don't think a lot of people actually know, you know, about the whaling business. It's not really a business anymore. So having that aspect is kind of fun. But what are maybe some of the inspirations that maybe the mechanics of the game, how'd that come about?
Well, and I'll be clear. I mean, I'm the publisher, so this is from Dice Hate Me Games. The designer, Nat Levin, some of his family's from the area. He lives in Philadelphia now. He's always been fascinated by the history of that area. So he just started, you know, tinkering with game design. And I think some of the inspirations for him for the mechanics themselves were basically the fact that we all really love worker placement games. I mean, yeah. It's a staple. It feels good.
Yeah, there's a lot of games, you know, has the same feel, but it's fun to have new takes on it, basically
right.
putting a twist on the whole resource management type of game. And like I said, it's really, you know, it caught my eye, and it was really interesting because of that industry, because a lot of people, like I said, don't know much about it. And so it's kind of fun to create a business that maybe you were never familiar with in the first place. And it's fun. It's a new concept that I can get behind.
Yeah. And it's one that, well, we definitely love it and love the richness of the history, not only, of course, because New Bedford was the initial setting for Moby Dick. It became, you know, just this very iconic – that's what kind of like the word was about in the 1850s. I mean, we're on the cusp of the Industrial Revolution. Whaling was a part of my life. But one thing that we thought was cool about this game is that not only do the mechanics represent worker placement, but also risk management, things like that. The Whaling mechanic is a pressure luck system, but all of it works together to show the expansion of a city, but also the effect on ecology from that industry itself. So as you whale throughout the game, the whale population actually dwindles, which makes it harder and harder to whale as we go out. So we think that it's an opportunity to actually, the theme follows reality completely. So it actually shows some of the harshness of the consequences of whaling at that time as well.
Okay, that's cool. So are we going to see Moby Dick in the game then?
we haven't announced it yet, but we do have a white whale tile. He was not be called Moby Dick, but we do have a white whale tile, and he does something a little bit special in an expansion. If we get to our stretch goals, we'd like to throw that in there.
See, there you go, people. You guys can hunt the white whale yourself if you just get them to their stretch goals, and we'll be able to have fun living our own story of hunting the white whale. So that's pretty cool. So right now, the game, as we're speaking right now to our listeners, the game has about 19 days left to go for the Kickstarter. It officially ends on December 14th, around 10 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. So with the game, and it's moving on a really good track, I don't doubt that you guys are going to get funded. And when that comes to fruition, when do you hope to have this game out to the public?
Well, I mean, our projected delivery date right now is August. We hope to have I'm working on production right now, doing the art graphic design. So as I continue to progress through that, we'll probably have it wrapped and ready for production by, you know, probably the 1st of January. So if we get it all through the process, you know, we might deliver early, but I'm not going to say that. So, you know.
Yeah. Don't say something that you can't
promise.
Oh,
no, right? No, definitely not. And
that's a great way to get people upset.
Yeah. And if I've learned anything, I mean, this is our 10th Kickstarter. So if I've learned anything by now, it's that our estimated delivery dates are always just up in the air because, you know, you run into these little snafus here and there, whether it's
exactly.
Running back and forth
yeah.
on a production issue or, you know, your boat is delayed. I mean, it's all kinds of things. So,
yeah. So with this being your 10th Kickstarter, which is awesome, by the way.
Thank you.
What is it about Kickstarter that really makes, you know, gaming more possible nowadays? What do you like about Kickstarter? Tell us a little bit about your experience with working with Kickstarter.
Well, on a personal note for the company, I mean, Dice Haven Games would not exist without Kickstarter. There was just no way possible in the beginning that we could have done that. And even now, after our 10th campaign, a lot of people say, like, you know, well, if you've had that many, you know, why are you still using Kickstarter? Well, because the margins are so small in the board game industry, Kickstarter enables us to get projects in front of people that may not have normally happened in the, you know, in a mainstream process, basically.
Yeah.
And so, like a project like New Bedford, it's a awesome game. I mean, it's actually one of the best games that I've played in our library, not just our library, but period. I still don't know that it would, if it was shopped around, that it would find a publisher that would really kind of want to do it, and at least a U.S. publisher, because this is really one of the first true U.S. Euros, if you know what I mean. It's
yeah, exactly.
It's
based completely everything America.
Right. It's Americana. That's kind of our aesthetic at Dice Haven Games, but Americana and Euro mechanics and all set together. I mean, our game that will be hitting was going to be delivered to Kickstarter backers next month is Brewcrafters, and that's again is another Americana Euro, but a little bit different because New Bedford is actually set in history, which traditionally that's where Euros are. So I don't know that a publisher would have really taken the chance on it just up front with their own money. Kickstarter allows us to take a chance on these types of games that we really want to see made, and allow the backers to help us to do that. And so that's what I've loved. And also, just it's a great community. I mean, people are passionate about the board games. I mean, yes, as we've progressed and Kickstarter has grown, there's become a little bit more of like a marketplace feel, and I think that in some instances has jaded a few backers, so that they're a little bit more wary with their money, or they become fickle and drop out.
Yeah,
you can't please
everybody, right?
Exactly. We just have to go out there and try to engage the people that feel the most passionate about your project, and hopefully there's enough of them that will help you to continue to grow that project.
Exactly. That's something that I've just loved about Kickstarter, and one of the reasons I started this podcast is just there's so many great things out there that really would never, like you said, probably be picked up or developed if it wasn't for, you know, Kickstarter, because, you know, you have these really small teams of people that are developing, you know, board games and video games and other things, and they put it out there for the public, kind of, you know, putting themselves out there, essentially saying, hey, I had this great idea, and I think it's a great idea. Do you think it's a great idea? And then you get all these backers that say, yeah, it's a good idea. I'll put, you know, my $10 or whatever behind it. And it's truly the best example of crowdfunding in my opinion, just the community that Kickstarter has been able to develop, and just seeing the success that they've been able to have with all these independent developers. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's a great community. You know, it's been diluted a few times here and there, but, you know, for right now, I'm hopeful that the platform will still remain a viable option for independent publishers to find the right audience and the right backing without it becoming too saturated from other sources. But, you know, it's that way with any platform, and you have to stay competitive to remain viable, and you know, you learn lessons from every single campaign.
Exactly. So it's a never-ending process, right?
That's right.
So where can people find more out about New Bedford and maybe more about Dice Hate Me Games?
Well, of course, the Kickstarter page has got a ton of information about New Bedford, and there's links there to our personal podcast. It's called The State of Games, which has an interview with Nat, the designer, Nat Levan. And he talks about some of his design processes, his thoughts. We talk a bit about Wayland itself and any of the controversy that might surround that. But, yeah, I mean, the Kickstarter page is going to be your main launching point. But if you want to find out more about Dice Hate Me Games in general, you can go to DiceHateMeGames.com. You can also find me on Twitter, at DiceHateMe. You can always contact me on there. Follow me. You know, just that's kind of the meeting spot of the mind, so to speak, in the design community. So
it really is. Twitter's the place to be right now. So everyone should go follow Chris at DiceHateMe, and then you'll be able to be on top of what's happening within the board gaming industry, that's for sure.
Right. Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. So there you go, people. Go to Kickstarter.com. Check out New Bedford. That's all you need to type in, New Bed and then Ford. And check out this awesome Kickstarter. It wouldn't be something I was highlighting on the show if I didn't think it was worth your time and money to invest in it. It looks awesome. It's going to be awesome. You have until December 14th to get behind this. And I have no doubt that this is going to be funded, so put your money behind it, and you're going to get this awesome game sometime within the near future, probably second quarter-ish of next year. Like we said, don't know this for sure times, but it's going to happen. And, yeah, so go check that out, and also follow Chris on Twitter at DiceHateMe, and then you can be able to get all your New Bedford and also other board game news that you could possibly want. So, Chris, thanks for joining me today. I really appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me.
No problem. Good luck in the future with future Kickstarters and everything that your company is doing, and I'm sure we'll be seeing a lot more great things from you.
I sure hope so.
All right. Have a good
you
one.
Too.